Welcome back to Hot Flashes and Cool Topics podcast, the voice for women in midlife and beyond. At Hot Flashes and Cool Topics, we talk about anything and everything to do with midlife. My name is Colleen.
My name is Bridget.
And Bridget and I are just kind of recharging from the weekend. We had an amazing time in New York City. I hosted the Conversations with Phenomenal Women event where we had the time of our lives, and I am completely in love with Laura Geller. Let me just say.
Oh, yes. Oh my gosh. It was a great event. Great speakers.
You know,
it was beautiful building. It was a lot of fun just to meet these women and find out about their careers or how they make it, find out about healthcare, women's health, such important topics. So many people in the audience. I was in the audience and they were sitting there just wanting to know more. They couldn't believe, first of all, they learned so much. They learned so much about this time in life. They learned so much about menopause. They learned so much about the business world. And you could just see they wanted to know more.
It was just really nice also to be able to have conversations on a stage, and then all the panelists just went to the audience and people could go up and talk to each other. And it was very interactional. No one was spoken at.
Yeah.
They were talked to in as part of the conversation.
Right. It was a conversation between.
And as usual, we had the most amazing gift bag. So thank you to all the sponsors. It just was over. We had a great time. Thank you to all the sponsors and to everyone who attended. And thank you to my wonderful co-host, Bridget, for being there to support me. I truly appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. I was happy to go. Happy to not have to plan it, too.
Bridget and I will actually be in New York City next week for the Women's Health Summit hosted by her MD and the Luminary. We're going to be doing a little behind-the-scenes stuff, so you don't want to... We'll have more information on our website, hotflashescooltopics.com. Now, for today's episode, we are talking about menopause in the workplace, which is a topic that is just starting to come to light in more conversations, and it is so necessary. You know, women in menopause account for almost 30% of the U.S. workforce, yet there are not regulations and aid services that address women's health issues in the So we are talking to Dr. Catherine Hansen of Pandia, and she is working with forward-thinking companies. Pandia Health is working with forward-thinking companies that are starting to create resources in the workplace for women going through menopause so that our productivity can be at its best and it can serve the company better. Because without some sort of flexibility when you're going through the transition of menopause, you really can't give your job 100%.
Right. I thought that was amazing. And it's interesting. You'll have to listen to reactions from companies and reactions from companies that are seeking this, which is really fantastic that companies are out there, resources and information. It's really amazing that they're doing that. And also, what can we do to get companies to contact places like Pandia Health that will bring these resources and information to work?
And also what you can do as a woman going through menopause, if you're afraid to talk to your company, your HR, maybe you don't even have HR, but there are things that you can do on your own to research, and Pandia Health is a great resource. We're going to be talking to her about a lot of issues that pertain to women in menopause, in the workplace. Let's get started and we will talk to it. Welcome back to Hot Flashes and Cool Topics. We have a really interesting conversation for you guys today. We are welcoming Dr. Catherine Hansen of Pandia Health, and we're going to be talking about menopause in the workplace. So let me start by saying welcome to the show, Dr. Catherine.
Thank you so much for having me. This is amazing to be raising awareness about this essential topic.
We talk so much about menopausal symptoms, menopausal support, for those symptoms, but we don't talk enough about what is happening for women in our demographic in the workplace. And, you know, we account for almost 30% of the U.S. labor force, women going through menopause. So this is a big percentage. You know, working with Pandia Health, what have you found kind of coming up to the surface as far as problems in the workplace?
Right. So Essentially, at Pandia Health, we have access for women to get services, to do a consultation around menopause. And so we don't necessarily ask those professional questions. But like you said, we know that 30% of women women are making up a huge portion of the workforce. We know also that women will spend over half of their lives. A lot of women, if we're lucky enough to make it to menopause because of our longevity, will spend, you know, almost half of our lives postmenopausal. And so we're going to be working in those years, and we're actually going to be gaining momentum into leadership positions in those years. And so what we're finding at Pandia Health and other places is that women are really needing access to care so that they can cope with all of those challenges around productivity, efficiency, essentially the ROI that is necessary and needed in their workplaces in order to not just be happy, which is vital, and you know, thriving, but also effective at their work and able to function and feel like they're making a contribution.
Yeah. When you're talking to employers, how do you approach them about bringing up menopause in the workplace? And what would that look like for somebody wanting this kind of service?
Right. So menopause in the workplace is gaining momentum, as you know, and as you are contributing to in the conversations that you're having. And I think that it needs to be normalized. We just need to realize that in the workplace, we have women of all ages and stages of life, and that we are often offering services for women who are younger around, you know, reproductive care, around pregnancy, and yet we're not really giving the same level of care. There's not equitable care for women who are midlife and beyond. And that is essentially what is required of workplaces, of leadership, of people who are setting policy and standards of practice in the workplace. And so these are the vital conversations that we're having, essentially asking, you know, what's already in existence in your workplace? And if it's severely lacking, which usually it is, how can we put some pieces into place that'll make this conversation more part of the norm?
You know, that's an interesting point, because when you are approaching a business that may have some support systems in place for pregnant women or maternity leave, are you looking for that support system to be like a continuous line to menopause, or should menopause be a completely different support system?
Well, such a great question. Right now, it seems like people are sort of making it a separate section, you know, like we don't have access to the menopausal care that we need. Let's put in place this access to this care. And I think that will work in the short term, but in the long term, we're women with this whole variety and diversity of health needs. And some of the lines are blurred. And so wouldn't it be great if women were just able to access care for whatever their concerns were, whatever their questions were? And if they lead to, you know, questions around hormones and menopause, then we can blend that conversation, you know, almost right out of reproductive years into what's next. And that way women can be prepared and not surprised about what's potentially coming.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, I can see why they want to separate, because just like when you go to your gynecologist or obstetrician, you go in the waiting room, most of the people are pregnant. Then you've got the one or two menopause women over here, you know, in the corner. And I can see why, you know, having both together, maybe more attention would be given to maternity leave and reproductive years. My question also is, what has your response been from employers? When they're approached about menopause care, what has been maybe the average response from employers?
At Pandia Health, we're working with employers who are requesting services. So we're talking about conscious, visionary, you know, forward-thinking leadership and organizations that are ready to do the heavy lifting of implementing new policies and standards of practice. When I speak with organizations sort of on other topics and we say, oh, you know, you've got employee assistance programs around mental health or around fitness and cholesterol and heart disease, what about hormones, midlife, menopausal care, there's usually a little bit of shock and awe, like, oh, wait, you know, that makes up a huge portion of our workforce, but we're really not doing justice to addressing those concerns in a way that would have women feeling really seen and heard and validated. My experience in my practice and at Pandia Health has been that women are feeling, you know, quite honestly, a little bit gaslit and made to feel a little crazy because we were talking about segmenting this menopausal population. But in fact, women can start to go through or have menopausal symptoms in the late 30s, early 40s, you know, by definition, before 40 is early. But around that time frame, those symptoms can be vague and concerning. And if we weren't just looking at it as menopause, but we were looking at it as transition and hormonal change, we would be able to help identify some of those concerns that may be related to hormones in later life, but happening at time frames that weren't necessarily immediately recognizable as menopause.
What would you suggest for a woman who may work for a smaller company, doesn't necessarily know the benefit policies, but is just not able to complete a full workday, whether it be heavy bleeding, hot flashes, brain fog? You know, brain fog is such a severe, you know, side effect for women who are in very, you know, whether they be an accountant, a lawyer, there's doctor, there's so many facets where the brain fog can really create almost a fear of going to work because you don't know what's going to happen. For those women who may not know about a policy in place, but they're afraid to go to HR because they don't want to, you know, kind of red flag it, what can they do to find out more?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd love to hit some of the stats, you know, in this area. We know that a third of women are affected in their work performance. We know that 40% miss work due to symptoms. You're talking about, you know, menopause, midlife symptoms, but even backtracking to menorrhagia or heavy cycles or changing menstrual cycles, all those menstrual related issues. We know that 1 in 5 women are actually turning down promotions because of their menopausal symptoms. 1 in 5 women are thinking of leaving the workforce because of their menopausal symptoms. And over 40%, like we even creeping up to half, are feeling like they're not getting the support. So the woman that you describe in that small organization is, you know, a large number of women are in that situation, whether it's a large or small organization. And so I would recommend for that woman that she, you know, first of all, seek out help from supportive colleagues, because we always can, women are really good at amplifying each other. And we all, although our experiences are unique, we all have some shared experiences and real, in general, compassion and empathetic heart to sort of lock arms with each other. And I think a woman's going to feel a lot more heard if she's able to bring along others. Now, there are many women who are in the only woman in their office. That's very common in our country. There has to be an advocacy with leadership. So if a woman's alone, or if she brings others along for the conversation, you know, we really need to be having open dialogue and transparent conversations. I'm not able to make it through my workday because of brain fog, fatigue. I'm not able to sleep at night. These are symptoms that are impacting my work. They're impacting my efficiency. I'm quite honestly, they're impacting the ROI of this organization. If we don't do something about it for me and the, you know, 40% of our workforce that are being impacted, the company is just not going to continue to, you know, thrive the way that it has been when women were, you know, not experiencing those symptoms.
Right. You know, we've heard from different guests that we've had about people who have left their job where they felt that their brain fog was interfering so badly, whether it be a very high finance position or something where they're dealing with people's lives in medicine, where they were very scared that their brain fog would either send them to jail if they messed up on something financially. And it is just so terrible and sad that it's not recognized with insurance. And I know a lot of women, you know, if you're employed, hopefully you have some insurance, but a lot of women don't have insurance. What in the way of menopausal care, can you give us like what things are insured, maybe what things are not included in insurance for menopausal care?
Oh, wow. So that is a massive question. You know, first of all, on the prison system, I think I will mention that I did a clinic in the prison system for years and years and years as part of the university that I worked with. And the inmates are insured. So going to prison actually means you would get menopausal care.
Oh, there you go. There's an option every day.
And our inmates, you know, need to be seen and heard and menopausal care. The other thing that made me think when you said that was you talk a lot about all the symptoms that aren't recognizable. And what about, you know, joint aches and pains and not just the fatigue and the brain fog, but, you know, really feeling unwell, almost flu-like, almost, you know, arthritic. And so a lot of these symptoms, they come on feeling like, you know, there's something really seriously wrong with me and I don't know what it is. And menopause is the last thing on my mind. You know, I really think I'm going to die here. So I think it's important we recognize those symptoms are holding people back, you know, surgeons, people who are working with their hands, people who are having to stand for long hours.
And we're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. And we're back.
In terms of what's covered, it's really, such a broad range, depending on what insurance company, depending on whether someone has insurance. We know that a huge portion, probably 20 million people in our population, are uninsured. So menopause, in my experience, both as a provider and as a patient, is that it's very poorly covered. So we know that menopause requires a lot of explaining what's happening, what symptoms am I having, how is it impacting my life, the whole gamut of symptoms so that a provider can isolate, you know, is this menopause or are there other workups that I need to be thinking about doing? And that takes time. And unfortunately, insurance, no matter which insurance it is, doesn't pay for doctors to spend that time that is absolutely required at this stage of life for people to have that important conversation. And that is one of the reasons that I have shifted away from, you know, the quick 15-minute clinical visit to what women really need, especially at the midlife stage, is that ongoing conversation to be able to say, you know, I feel crazy. I've spoken to 3 other doctors. I don't know what's going on with me. And if I don't get this fixed, my marriage is going to break down. I'm going to leave my job or lose my job. And, you know, frankly, I might end up in a car accident because my brain fog is so bad and I can't sleep. So these are things that should be insured and are very poorly insured. So, you know, the nitty gritty is if you go in to see your doctor, there may be a conversation visit, but it doesn't pay very well. Doctors are paid much better to go off and do surgeries and procedures. And that is not where this care needs to be provided. It really needs to be provided in a back and forth conversation where a provider can have, really delve into what is impacting you? How are you impacted by this? And then how can we get you the help that you need? I will say, you know, lab tests are probably covered by most insurance if someone has insurance. However, lab tests aren't required to diagnose menopause. And so other lab tests that would rule out other things, thyroid disorders or other autoimmune or inflammatory issues, but the actual diagnosis of menopause doesn't require lab testing. It requires a conversation.
With the forward-thinking companies that you are working with, what are some examples of things they are putting in place to address the needs of menopausal and perimenopausal women?
Yeah, so as we were talking about policies, looking at what's already in existence and ensuring that it is inclusive and that it includes verbiage that doesn't, going through what those standards of practice look like and making sure that the verbiage includes all ages, all people, all women or female identifying people, and just ensuring that whatever is in place feels like it is broad enough to be having those conversations in a gender equity, open context, transparent way. I have had organizations really interested in implementing new policies. policies and practices. And what we hear women wanting most or speaking to their leadership about most is flexibility. And, you know, really that rises to the top of every conversation. I really just need flexibility. And I often think about, you know, even myself at work, I am a 50 plus year old woman. And I know that when I need a little break, it's not that I'm going for coffee. It's not that I'm lazy. It's not that I'm not, it's really that I need a rest so that I can come back full strength and do the work that I know I need to do. In general, we are at a stage in our lives where we want to be contributing. And if we can do that in a way that allows us to flex and flow with our physiology, we will be more effective.
Another thing that I really liked about Pandia Health that I noticed that you really try to serve the underserved. And that is so important. So many women at this time of life have gone through a job loss, a divorce, something where their financial situation is not as good. Can you talk about how at Pandia Health they help the underserved?
Yes. So we know that we're talking about, well, women at all ages and stages, or midlife women specifically, there's been a real commercialization of women's healthcare. And it's something that just really irks me. And I know Sophia Yen, our co-founder at Pandia Health, because she as well is a medical provider, you know, certified pediatric endocrinologist. And when we, what we hope to bring, what we do bring, is evidence-based, science-backed care that is accessible to everyone. Accessible both in the fact that if you have a device and internet, you can get access to care. Access to care and hormonal care across all ages. So contraceptive care, menopausal care, and you know, specific to women, female identifying. And also accessible from a economic point of view. So cost-effective contraception, cost-effective menopause consultation, cost-effective menopausal hormone therapy, you know, delivered right to your doorstep, and to be reassured that it's evidence-based care, FDA-approved options, because we really, as women, need to be so careful about what we're being offered that may be, I'm going to say cheap. I'd like to say that what Pandia offers is cost effective, because it really has to be that high quality FDA approved options, regimes, but other things are frankly cheap and potentially not science backed and can tout whatever they want because they're not regulated in the same way. And that hurts my heart. I think women really need the very best care, and Pandia is able to offer that in an accessible way.
Which I think also is important because, you know, when we're talking about women in the workplace, as we were saying, a lot of companies don't have any support system in place. But, you know, if it's a smaller company and they don't have formal policies, then Pandia would also be a great place for women to kind of say, okay, I can at least look here for support, guidance, and perhaps some examples of whether it be flex days or work share or whether to take time off or a leave. What has the response been with the companies that you work with? Have they found that it's been beneficial to put these programs in place?
Oh, 100%. Women are responding in really incredible ways because, again, for the first time, they've been heard. They've been, you know, understood, and they're seeing, you know, a lot of women, you know, creeping up into sort of 50, 60, getting to retirement age. They have wisdom. They have experience. They want to share with their younger colleagues. They don't want to be felt invisible or pushed out. And to bring a program like this and open dialogue and supportive conversations, it really allows the women with the wealth of expertise and wisdom to share that and really elevate the entire workforce. And so the workforces that are able to do this really do unleash the women in their organization to be helping and supporting and amplifying, mirroring and sponsoring each other in pretty profound ways. And that comes back to a question you asked earlier, Colleen, around, you know, what what can people put in place? Those policies, those procedures, you know, standards of practice, but also support groups. And with the virtual, you know, Bridget, you're talking about the virtual programming that has now become almost normalized. We're able to have support, even if we're in a small workforce and there's only a couple of women, there are support networks that women can start having bigger conversations. You know, we're not going to answer everything today. And so women have lots of questions, and to have someone that they can talk to, or people that they can talk to, education that they can access. Support groups are really important for organizations. And women, when they connect on something like this, they also connect on their work projects and their brain share around other areas of productivity that they can bring back into their actual job, which is also an elevation of what's happening at the workplace.
Right. It sounds like a great sense of community too, which is so important in other aspects, you know, like longevity, that there's a whole nother aspect there as well. And so this is available, Pandia Health is available throughout the United States. Is that correct?
It is. It's available in most states. Please don't make me quote which states. It's not all 50 just yet, but very, very close. And it's available to women as individuals. So pandiahealth.com, pandiahealth.com. And there's a menopause tabs, or you can just do /menopause and join a VIP list. And ultimately for individuals, there's a consultation, an intake consultation for them to take. And it's, you know, viewed by a provider, a medical provider on the other end, with a back and forth conversation, which is essential to really honing in on that diagnosis and that person's needs. For employers, for workplaces or organizations who are stepping into this in a new way, reach out to us at Pandia Health, because we would love to have a very customizable conversation around what that workforce needs. Every employer really potentially wants something different for their organization. It's not a paintbrush. You know, it's not necessarily a 5-week digital program that's going to fix everything. It needs to be a conversation around, you know, what's the demographic in your workforce? What do we want to also be talking about, some of the hormones at a younger stage? Do we have women who are wanting to understand menopause even though they're in their 20s and 30s? And we're seeing that a lot. And, you know, what are the real pain points in an organization that has created this need for them to reach out? It would be nice if every organization did, but the ones that reach out are generally looking for something, and we can tailor what's provided to that organization.
Because even the smallest organizations made up of 2 or 3 people can use the resources. Like, you can at least say to an employee, here's some research, here's Pandia Health, you can look up on there, and, you know, to get your questions answered. So it's great to have that resource so that no one feels like, well, my company's not going to address my situation because there's only, you know, 10 employees. They're not going to have a formal policy. What trend, since you've been working with companies, and I know this is really a new kind of discussion that a lot of companies are having, what would you say is kind of the trend you're seeing with menopause in the workplace? Like, where do you see it going in the next couple of years?
Well, ideally, it becomes just part of the support. And you know, as we elevate the conversation around care and compassionate care and conversation for midlife and menopause and perimenopause and beyond, we're also elevating the conversation around women's health and gender equity. And it would be really amazing if we had a workforce and a world where those conversations were just mainstay, and no taboo, no stigma. Let's just talk about what women need so that women can be doing their very best and living their best life and making their genius contribution.
Bridget and I have said many times that England is just further along in the menopause discussion, and there are now policies in place. They've had discussions at Parliament. Do you see any federal guidelines now that they're putting money into menopause research? Do you think that it's a possibility that they will have some federal guidelines to protect women in the workplace?
I see us walking in that direction. And yes, I'm glad you raised that point that the UK is ahead of the US. They absolutely are. And there are a lot of resources online out of the UK, the House of Commons, like you said, they meet, they have standards that are, you know, countrywide, and they're able to do that because they're a national healthcare system. They're a, sort of a standardized in many aspects of what they do in the UK. But what I've seen coming out of the US over the last couple of months in women's health and gender specific research and looking toward a future for the foundational pieces of women's health, you know, at a federal level, it seems to be walking in that direction. And if we can continue taking that journey, that would be lovely. That would be, I'm trying to think of a word that just is like, that would just be what we should expect.
Yeah, right. We should. It should be
and
there.
As I like to say, it's something that our kids should be able to take for granted. That it's
exactly.
Just
there. There it is. It's absolutely. Something we should be able to take for granted.
Right.
That's right.
Exactly.
To our daughters and nieces and children.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
The
yes.
Next generation.
Such incredible male allies who are towing the line with us. And that is so required. I'm glad that we raised that conversation because that is, you know, a lot of where the change is. Men are still outnumbering women in the workforce, and men who are helping to advance these vital gendered programs are going to be the people that really help us make the change.
Exactly. I wanted to add too, to Pandia Health's website. I just found really great, you know, the descriptors on there. And can you talk about the prescriptions that are available on there? I mean, I know you touched on it earlier, but I was just looking at it saying, oh, this is so nice that it's on there. Can you talk a little bit about what is available through prescription?
Yeah, this is the incredible thing about Pandia Health and the way that Dr. Yen has set it up. There are no limits. If you can get a prescription, you know, if it is a prescription, it is available. The question just becomes what it is that is appropriate and what it is that is within the realm of what a patient wants to pay for or is able to pay for or has insurance to pay for. And it, again, shipped right to the patient's home, which is incredible, and on an auto ship, so you never forget. But the really amazing thing about Pandia Health is that it covers that whole age range, all the ages and stages. And so it started with contraception and has expanded into menopause. And so there are so many different birth control pills, and birth control pills actually serve a perimenopausal population in a really incredible way by lightening cycles, making cycles more regular. It's an estrogen and progesterone that we're used to taking throughout our lives, our reproductive lives, if we use that for birth control or cycle regulation. And so that can continue all the way to the average age of menopause, which is 51, if a woman wants to use that form of hormone for her symptom control. And then all of the menopausal hormone therapies that are available anywhere else. So what I recommend, and I'm not sure, you know, your listeners probably are like, well, what? I always recommend bioidentical estrogen in the form of a patch because that's transdermal. It's the safest. It doesn't create, you know, more clotting risk. And progesterone, bioidentical progesterone only comes in a pill that I always recommend people take at night because it's calming and helps people sleep. So the standard regime would be a patch and an estrogen patch and a progesterone pill, but absolutely anything is available. So you can get estrogen and progesterone together in a patch. You can get them together in a pill, sort of like a birth control pill, but in menopausal dosing. You can get, you know, very, very many modes of delivery and dosage regimes titrated to what each person needs.
Thank you so much, Dr. Catherine Hansen. We appreciate you coming on the show and talking about menopause in the workplace, a topic that is just getting started. And we look forward to companies starting to address the needs of women in our demographics. So thank you so much for coming on.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Colleen and Bridget. It's been an absolute pleasure. And thank you for raising awareness for women around these vital topics so we can be out living our best lives.
Well, we want to thank Dr. Katherine Hansen so much for sharing all of this valuable information with us about menopause in the workplace and resources available that can help women.
Remember, no woman should ever have to leave her job because of menopause. It's unacceptable, and that needs to change. So I think that's what Bridget's point is that...
It is my point, yes. Yes. Yes.
Remember yes. that. If there are resources out there, you can go on websites. There are HR guidelines that maybe you can suggest to your company. Flexible days, you know, flexible schedules, different right. things that you could work from home maybe. You know, there are things you can do. Just like we're slowly having the conversation about maternity and paternity leave, there should be menopause leave as well. So we hope that this information was useful for you. And please share it with anyone that you know that might be struggling in the workplace right now. Follow us on all forms of social media. Make sure you are following our YouTube channel because most of these videos will be up there. Thank you all for listening. If you have any questions, make sure to email us at hotflashescooltopics@gmail.com. And we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.